Welcome to Refuge Radio. Psalm 9:1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. And today we have got an incredible, miraculous testimony.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
All right, hello and welcome again, everybody, to Refuge Radio. My name is Nikki Madigan. I am the Children's Ministry Director at Refuge, and I'm excited to be here today, and I'm super excited because I have Paul and Debbie James with me, who are fellow refugees. And they are a true blessing to me. I have to start out by saying this. They served at one of our biggest outreaches of the year with kids and ran a game at our block party. So they're just amazing servants of the Lord. But we have an incredible testimony, not even 2 weeks out from something pretty amazing that happened. And I want them to share their story with you today, and we'll kind of go through it. And I know that you guys are going to be encouraged and uplifted because it's always amazing when you have an opportunity to tell of our God's greatness and his goodness, right? And that's, you know, back to the verse Psalm 9:1 that we shared at the beginning, I will tell of all your marvelous works. And so they have something to tell, which is great. But if you would just, Debbie, introduce yourself really quick and, how long have you been at Refuge and what do you do there?
Thank you, Nikki. It's really, really good to be here today for a lot of reasons. But I'm Debbie James, newly married for 40 days to my husband, Paul, and I've been going to Refuge a little over 3 years, and I am actually usually on the other side of this microphone answering yes. your calls when you call in for prayer, and I also work with the Homeless Outreach for Lunch and Prayer, and who knows what God's got in store for other ministries there.
Yes, he's definitely not done with you, and we know that from the testimony we're about to hear. And then, Paul, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Great, Nikki. It's good to be here and as well. And I've been came to the church as a seeker and met Debbie there for the most part for the past year. And I was looking for a family, and that's what I found in Refuge. Mm. And so I'm involved in the homeless ministry and the outreaches to at-risk youth, and we're also involved in things that we can do in our community to help with our business that we have in warehousing, and food, and distribution and such.
Yes, you are a blessing to the Refuge family, absolutely, and we're glad you're there. And yeah, for those of you listening, it was November 4th, so 12 days ago, something pretty incredible happened. Actually, many of you may have seen it on the news. If you go Google it, this incident will come up. And so what I would like to start out with is have kind of Debbie and then Paul kind of just give us that bird's eye view of what exactly happened. What was the incident? And then we can kind of get down to the heart of it.
Okay. Well, I think I would like to start, Nikki, if that's okay. I want to start off by saying that, first of all, that this story is a miracle. I think we can all agree with that. But this story is not about me. This story is not about, anything that happened to Debbie. It's 100% about God and his provision, his protection, his love, his promises. And so that's what I want everyone to get out of this today. And, you know, it started off as just a beautiful, sunny Friday morning, and I was really excited because I was on my way home, actually, from picking up my brother at LAX, and we were two exits from where we were going to get off. And my husband, Paul, and my brother were finally going to get the stairlift put in for my mom, who I care for, and she was super excited to get that stairlift put in. So my brother and I were just talking casually about whether the parts came in and what we were going to do and what our game plan was going to be if that they didn't come in. And just out of nowhere, we were in the slow lane, and this 18-wheeler just came up on us very quickly. And All I thought about at the time was his wheel was right at my door, and it had stuck like glue, and it was acting like a saw, and it was sawing through my door. And I had two thoughts that ran through my brain at that time. One is, I've got to get away from this wheel, because if that wheel gets me, then it's all over. And the second thing is I've got to keep the car from going underneath this big rig, because that wouldn't be good either. And I think just about the time as those thoughts were running through my head, the driver of the truck, who, by the way, was 32 years old, so I have compassion for him, but he realized that he had hit something, and he kind of overcorrected and kind of jerked to the left a little bit, which threw his tractor trailer square onto the top of my car.
Yeah. So you guys have that picture in your mind. You could see that picture even online of just this big rig just kind of flattening your car. So that's the setup of the story. And then how about for you, Paul?
When I came into the story when just moments after that happened, and I got that call that nobody wants to get, that, you know, you've been involved in a serious accident. And I had 42 years on a medical trauma team. And so as they were describing the scene, I really had that feeling that I wasn't going to have my bride again. I'd never see her. And so I'm overcome by emotion and feeling very much helpless. But I wasn't helpless in that moment. And so my first prayer that I shot up was that I need to get there, and I need to be alongside Debbie and hold her hand.
Yeah,
I do not want her to be alone.
Yeah. What's cool is, even just farther, kind of backing up the perspective, is that, you know, as a refugee being outside, we have heard stories now since that there was someone from Refuge riding their bike over an overpass on the freeway and saw it and immediately started praying. So right there was intercession happening. And
that's
then
right.
Not until, I believe, Monday, I found out another refugee attendee, he was like, oh, I was stuck in that traffic. I didn't even know if it was someone from our church. And I started praying immediately. So while all this is going on, people are already interceding, and God's already at work. So that's a beautiful testimony already. But I would love for you guys to even go now a little deeper to the heart of the matter, right? This is what's happening. This is the scene. But in your heart, like, what was the Lord doing? How is he ministering to you, Debbie, in that moment? And then Paul, because I know you guys kind of have different perspective on what God was doing in that moment. And it's both beautiful testimonies. So,
well, it was so interesting to me, because in your moment of need, the Holy Spirit brings back to your memory things that you have learned all the time from when you were a little kid till now. And part of that was scripture. Mm-hmm. And part of it was a devotion that I had read that very morning that I didn't realize was going to be so prominent in at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And this is what I read, these words: "My strong deliverer, as I face the circumstances of the day, I need to lean on you. When I'm facing challenging circumstances and I'm weak, I tend to obsess about how I'm going to make it through. This wastes a lot of time and energy. Whenever this happens, please open my eyes, Lord, so that I can find you in the midst of my circumstances. Enable me to see you standing nearby with strong arms extended to me, offering me your help, instead of pretending that I have it all together or that I'm stronger than I really am. I need to lean hard on you. Mm-hmm. And as I do, you bear my burdens and you show me how to deal with my difficulties. I rejoice in you, my strength."
Man, what a perfect word that he gave you that day.
I know. And so, you know, I read it, and in that moment, I'm a prayer warrior, but I didn't pray. Which is not very characteristic of me. In that moment, the only thing I could think of is, I need to call out for something that's going to give me comfort. Mm-hmm. So all I kept repeating over and over again was, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me."
And that's a prayer, right?
That's a prayer.
Simple one.
And
yes.
And then it was miraculous, because in that moment, there came a hand through the window on the opposite side of where I was, and my hand could just kind of get, I saw it in my kind of peripheral vision, because my head at this point was stuck in a very awkward position on my chest. My face was almost parallel with my chest. My windpipe was kind of crooked. My sternum was broken. I couldn't breathe. And this little hand, or big hand, I'm going to say, yeah, came through the window. And I could see it, and I reached out and I grabbed it. Mm. And this hand just kept saying, just breathe, just breathe. Mm. And breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And this person said, I'm going to be here with you. And when they get this door off, I'm going to crawl in there with you. Mm. And that was so comforting to me. And what I found out later was that my son, when he heard what had happened, he immediately went into prayer. And he said, Mom, I saw someone holding your hand that wasn't your husband.
Yeah.
And so God had answered that prayer.
And we, on our end, I think at Refuge, had heard the report, a police officer, had his hand through the window the whole time with you. And I was like, wow, that's a beautiful thing that God provided. But then do you want to add on what you found out later?
Well, I'd like to pass the baton over to Paul because he actually found out about it.
Okay. I was in search of that person because he was really the hand that I wanted to be extending to my bride. And I wanted to thank him. And so in my follow-up, I went to one of the highway patrol offices and found people who were at scene and were first responders. Mm-hmm. And they told me that there was no one that they saw that was inside the car or even reaching inside the car. And so we're left with, answered prayer.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was praying for. Absolutely. And that's what Debbie needed. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus gave her at that moment in her moment of suffering.
Mm. Just simple, somebody holding your hand to comfort you and telling you, just breathe the entire time. That is a beautiful thing. Why don't you go ahead and give us the next, I know you have more to share on what God was doing.
Because it's just so remarkable. Yes. I mean, I could talk about it for days, but I know we're limited. There are just so many miracles. People look at this and they say, it's a miracle. But I would have you know it's many miracles. And, I just remember that when this thing hit my head, it was 40,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I was in a 2,000-pound car. And people at Nissan said, it's not possible.
Right. There's no way.
There's no way. Yeah. They said, all of the first responders, the CHP, said, we've been doing this a long time. We've never seen this kind of outcome. The car was completely smashed. And somehow, this 40,000-pound thing on my head, it felt like my head was on fire. I really thought that when they pried this truck off the top of my head, that when I looked up, I was going to see the top of my scalp and all my hair just kind of floating up with this lifted truck. But it didn't happen that way. Mm. God is so good. I didn't have a bruise. I had some cuts on my hand. I had a broken sternum, which I still do, and that kind of brings its own issues, but could have, would have, I could have been paralyzed. I could have broken my neck or my back. Any number of things, but God.
But God.
Amen, yeah. And literally, 4 days later, you come walking into the office to pray for people, and she's got two scratches on her hand. It was one of those only God moments. Absolutely. And Paul, actually, would you share, Paul's written kind of a...
Yeah, clearly the laws of nature demanded a death at that point. Mm-hmm. But the creator of gravity can choose to overcome it. Mm-hmm. And it takes faith, really, to believe that Jesus can pay for our sins. Mm-hmm. And he can also miraculously kind of bear that press of a 40,000-pound car on top of us. And so he was present.
Yes, amen.
And, after the fact, I found out that it only takes 500 pounds to crush a skull. Mm-hmm. And I had 40,000 pounds. And, who was holding that up?
Mm-hmm.
the creator of the universe, the lover of my soul was holding that up. And a lot of prayer was holding it up.
Amen.
And, you know, I just want to say that God's fingerprints are all over this miracle and thousands of little shifts that were so slight that the dailiness of his work doesn't even register in real time. Mm-hmm. But as we reflect afterwards, there were 100 little miracles that occurred that day. And Paul made a really good list of some of those miracles. Do you want to share some of those?
Yeah, I want to share verse 2. Isaiah 12:4 says, "And on that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name,' which Debbie did, and make known his deeds among the people." And so that's really what I feel I've been tasked with. The CHP said there was probably about 500,000 people on that freeway that was shut down on both sides so that the helicopter could land. And the traffic was snarled for over 6 hours. And so I just want each one of those 500,000 people to know about God's deeds and remember and that his name would be exalted. Isaiah 12:4.
Right. And I feel like, you know, some of those little miracles were the airbags did not deploy. Had they deployed, it would have meant certain death for me because I would have been upright and then it was compressing on my head. Mm-hmm. If that forklift had started, you know, they could have done more damage than not. Yeah. And God said, but no, I've got a better plan. Yeah. We don't need any forklift.
Yeah.
Because then that forklift or your quick thinking would get the glory. And we want, you know, I want this glory. Yeah. And we want to give it all to him.
And that's another miracle, I would say, because your brother was in the passenger seat. So that's what she's referencing. Keith, right?
Right.
He was able to get out of the vehicle without a scratch, and he ran to the side of the freeway where there was a forklift and tried to start it. There was a key, but it didn't work. And and that God had his hand in that even because it would have potentially been worse for him trying to do it. Yeah,
absolutely. Amen. I mean, both Paul and my mom wanted to go to the airport to pick up my brother. Had either one of them gone, they would have been in the back seat and crushed. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so many, many, many miracles that day that we're praising God for. And
I was present in the emergency room when the trauma surgeon came in, and she was still in the C collar. And, of course, she had low blood pressure, and they were concerned about internal bleeding and certainly paralysis. And spinal column damage and heart damage and spinal column fractures and the whole list of the differential diagnoses that they worked through. And so he was very tenderly starting to take the C-collar off and expected her to not be able to move her head at all. And it was just within a matter of moments that she was lifting her head off and turning side to side and had full range of motion. And so at this point, people became aware to be able to pray for us. We hadn't got any results back yet.
Yeah.
And so they had undergone CT scans, and we were waiting for those results and had so many people praying for us. And it was at that moment, after people began to intercede for us, that we got back. The CT results were all negative.
Mm.
Praise God.
Yeah, and then she shows up on Tuesday at church, and we just can't give her a really hard bear hug. That's the only restriction that she has. So that's
which really crushes me because I'm a hugger.
Yeah, I know. I'll do the tender hug for now.
The tender hug,
yes.
Right. So, you know, I just, is it okay if I just want to give some encouragement?
Absolutely.
To those,
I know,
because
you have that heart. Yes.
You know, I have a little story. I'm one of 5 siblings. And in my family, we still banter back and forth about who's mom's favorite. And we're kind of silly about it. But, you know, God doesn't have favorites. And he didn't bestow this miracle on just me because he loves me more. He loves all of his creation the same. And there might be some who are listening who are praying for a miracle. I just want to say, hang on to your faith. Sometimes he answers those prayers instantaneously, like he did mine. Mm-hmm. And other times, it takes place over a number of days or weeks or years. But his answer is a miracle all the same. It doesn't make it any less of a miracle. And so what makes faith fall apart isn't doubt. It's becoming too certain of the wrong things.
Mm, yes.
And so you know, I don't know if there's anybody out there that is really looking for someone to encourage them in their walk and hope for a miracle, but I'm usually on the opposite end of this, and I'm usually the one picking up the phone calls. And I would love it if you wanted me to pray with you or for you and stand in the gap with you. Please call in. I believe Tim is in there today covering for me. Thank you, Tim.
Yes.
And just call in and say, I'd like Debbie to pray for me, and leave your name and number. And it might take me a while, a couple of days, depending on how many you're calling in, but I would be happy to pray for you.
And just to give the number to do that, because
yes,
that would be a blessing. At Refuge Radio, our number there is 714-907-1177. And like she said, Tim is there today, and then you can leave a message and Debbie can call you back and pray with you. And I will just say, my office being pretty near that office, Paul will be in there praying as well. He is often in there interceding, not on the phone line, but in the back, which is a beautiful thing to see you guys working together. Before we do one last thing, is there any last word that you guys want to say, Paul or Debbie?
You know, I would like to say that when I got home, I was overwhelmed with love. I had like, I don't know, 152 messages. I didn't even know if I was going to get my phone back because it was lost in the crash. And then, but Paul went and got my phone, and I was shocked when I turned it on and charged it, and there was 152 messages. And one sweet person that I served on a missions trip with recently wrote this to me. Because she holds fast to me in love, I will deliver her. I will protect her because she knows my name. Mm-hmm. When she calls to me, I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will rescue her and honor her. With long life, I will satisfy her and show her my salvation. This is my promise that I'm praying for all of you as you seek your miracle. And Paul, do you have any closing thoughts?
I'm continually in awe of God, and in those moments of helplessness, which is what I was experiencing, you know, I the Lord God is my help. He's my ezer, is the Hebrew word for that. And I'm just so thankful that He intervenes and He watches over us. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. He doesn't want anybody to die. And so we have that encouragement that if we endure, that we will reign with Him one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's such a beautiful testimony. Thank you guys so much for sharing it, because we just talking beforehand, we're sitting there and we're just like, we had talked this story out before, and we're still just astonished at what God does. He's a miracle-working God. He's the same God that we read about in the Bible, right? He parts seas, He helps shepherd boys defeat giants, but He also saves lives. He keeps those semi-trucks up when they need to be. He holds our hand, right, when we need it. So that's what I just kind of want to finish with real quickly. We don't have too much time left, but we did this with the kids at Refuge a couple weeks ago. We were reading a psalm of thanksgiving, and we were counting all the ways that the psalmist praised God. And the kids were, you know, recounting them. Oh, he said God gives us freedom. He said God defeats our enemies, you know. So we were doing that. And then I said, now let's be the ones that add on to that psalm. Let's add our thankfulness to God. So if we're going to add on to this psalm, we're gonna put our ideas. What would we say to God? And there's kind of a list on the back that Paul's typed up, but we don't necessarily have to read all of them. But you listening too can join us just in your own mind, in your own heart right now. What would you add to a psalm of thanksgiving? Maybe it's something big. Maybe it's something smaller. So let's just take a second. I just want to praise God for Paul and Debbie, that they're part of the Refuge family, that you're still here, that God's not done with
Amen.
You yet. And that this testimony is going to go out and just showcase and brag on who God is. So I'm thankful for that. And then if you guys want to give a couple things you're thankful for, we'll wrap it up after that.
Well, you know what? I'm thankful that this story is going out and it's changing hearts of people. And we've heard that some people have used it to bring their loved ones to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And what a glorifying and beautiful picture of who God is. And so I am very thankful that any little thing that I might have suffered adds to the number that will be in the kingdom one day.
I have to say I'm thankful have to say that I'm thankful in my suffering, in that if I just focus on the negative, then it's easy to find fault and to live fearfully. But on the other hand, if we look at it, we count our blessings, the proverbial count your blessings, and that's really where we find that peace and that joy and that love.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today. We pray that this testimony has encouraged your heart and strengthened you. You're not alone. We would love to pray with you again. Debbie or anyone else answering the phones, 714-907-1177.
My heart set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.